for a couple of minutes. By that, he meant an hour. No, I'm joking. 2 hours? No, I'm joking. But, you know, my confidence in being able to captivate your attention isn't by me being a good speaker, because I'm not that good. But if you can watch Netflix for an hour, if Netflix can captivate your attention for an hour, I believe that God can. I think God is going to speak. Like, I open his word, and I think he's more than able to captivate you for 3 hours. All right, so that's what my confidence is in. It's in God, it's not in me. So today's all about Thanksgiving. We're having a Thanksgiving service. And as Si's already said, it's primarily to say thanks to God for blessing us with this garden and the people who've been involved in it. But as we do this, I want us to go past that a little bit and really try to get to the heart of what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. And to do that, we need to look at different stages of saying thanks. And I want us to start with how we were taught as children our P's and Q's. Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? What's one of the first thing you teach your kids? To say please and thank you. So that was the first stage in my life of me learning to give thanks, right? I was taught to always say please and thank you for things. That was the first stage. But why did I do that? Yeah, exactly. The only reason I gave thanks as a little tiny baby was because I was told to. You know, like you see that cute baby and you give them a sweet or something. And then their mum's like, what'd you say? And they're like, boo. And they're like, and everyone's like, oh, look, they said thank you. And you're like, no, they said boo. But, you know, that's the first thing. They've got no idea why they're saying it. They're just taught to say thank you. And everyone goes, oh, aren't they cute? And, you know, they carry on doing it because they're getting laughs and giggles. Same as please, isn't it? You know, you ask for something as a kid. And then you don't say that word. And this is one of my favorite lines as a parent. You're missing a word. You're missing a word. And everyone knows what word you're missing. Please. They say please because they're told to say please. But why do we tell kids to do that? Manners. Yeah, but why? Children. Who cares about manners? What's so good about manners? To show gratitude. It's good to show gratitude, isn't it? And as humans, there's something in us and we can't put our finger on it. And there's loads of things as humans you can't put your finger on, but you know they're there. There's this desire to want to give thanks built into us. Okay, so that's the first stage, doing it because you've been told to. But the next stage to giving thanks is giving thanks because you really like something that's been given to you or that's happened to you. So you're not just saying it because you've been taught to, but you actually like the thing that you've been given and you're genuinely thankful for it. So the best thing I can think of for this is when a child receives something they really wanted for Christmas. Let's say it's a computer game or something like that. And they're genuinely thankful for it, but they're thankful for the game. They wanted the game for so long and they got the game. And then what happens to the kid then? You don't see them for the next like week. They've gone, haven't they? Where have they gone? They're playing the game, aren't they? They're playing the game. They say thank you and then they disappear. Now that's the second kind of stage of thankfulness. Thankful for something that you've been given. Now don't misunderstand me in what I'm saying. I'm not saying either of those reasons for giving thanks are wrong per se, but what I'm saying is that they're not complete. They're not reaching the ultimate thanks. So for us to get to the next level of what thanks is, I want us to think about what makes this service here and now different from any other Thanksgiving service. So what I want you to do is pretend that we're not in a church, pretend that we're in a library, and that they've had a new garden built. And they're having in their opening service, they've got like some big red tape there. They've invited the local mayor to come along and open their garden for them. They've got a plaque and everything. They're going to whip off a sheet. It's going to be there. Then they're going to cut the red tape. Then the mayor's going to say stuff. Okay, I want you to imagine that that's where we are right now. What makes what we're doing right now different from that?
Because we're glorifying God.
Amen. Like, that is the nail on the head, literally. Right? The only difference, and it's, I don't mean only as in a small difference, the big difference is that we're glorifying God. And with anything you do, like, it's like, what makes this different from what everyone does? As a Christian, it's because we're giving God the glory. We're thanking God, but it's not just for what he's given us. Why aren't we focusing on what he's given us? What's the issue with that? I like interaction, so I'm not moving on until you get what's that? Yeah, you're focusing on the thing, aren't you? Rather than the one who's given you that thing. That's what the kid does who goes to his bedroom and plays the game for a week. They're focusing on the game, but they've missed the one who gave them the game. And this is the ultimate aim of biblical thankfulness, that we put the main focus on God and thank him for what he's done. And that, when we do that, that glorifies him and not the thing. Does that make sense? It's giving glory to him. I want you to listen to this quote from Jonathan Edwards, not the triple jumper, the 16th century theologian. Easy to confuse him, I know. God is not glorified if the foundation of our thankfulness is the worth of the gift and not the excellency of the giver. If gratitude is not rooted in the beauty of God before the gift, it's probably disguised as idolatry. And idolatry is a word that Christians have for worshipping something that's not God. So if we focus on this garden and miss God, we've missed everything. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to worship a garden. I want to worship God. I want to worship the one who gave us this garden. And if we move back to the earthly stages of thanks, I said, we know that's true, don't we? Because as you get older in a relationship, you really don't, and hear me right, and Naomi's not here, I don't think, but you really, is she? Okay, I need to be careful, but you really start to care less and less and less about the gift. You really do, honestly. When you're younger, it's a big deal what the actual gift is. But as you mature in your relationship and you fall more and more in love, you don't really care what the gift is. When you say thanks, you're saying thanks for that person. Thank you for that person. I love them. Like, the gift is great, and the gifts do get better because they understand you more. Yeah, but it's really not about that. It's about the giver. And you know that they love you, and you know that they know what you need. But really, you're just thankful for them. And that's the aim of the Christian, right? Give thanks to God, not just for what he gives, but simply for who he is. Just who he is. Listen to these verses from Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Why should we do that? It gives us the answer. For he is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's why we should give thanks, because God is good, and his mercy endures, and his truth extends to all generations. And any gift, right, that comes to us is just an extension of who he is. Any good gift that comes to us, and this is what it says in the Bible from James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no change or shifting shadow. So we need to track the gifts that come down back up. We need to track them back up to their source. And what's their source? God, the Father of lights. It's like what Pete was saying a couple of weeks ago. And if you weren't here in church, you missed out on a great sermon. And if you don't come next week, you're going to miss out on another great sermon. And that's not because we're all good speakers. It's because God is awesome and he wants to speak to you. So come to church. Right, I know that was a bit passive aggressive, but come to church. You need to be in church. Where was I with that? Right. Pete said the gifts are like a finger that's pointing to something else, something greater. Now, I've never done this before. This is a first for me. And I know it's probably theologically dodgy, but I'm going to quote Bruce Lee. And in one of Bruce Lee's films, he's got a little kid by him and he's explaining to him this principle. And he says, it's like a finger pointing away to the moon. And he snaps the kid on the head and he's like, don't touch the finger or you'll miss all the heavenly glory. The garden is a finger. But unless you see it pointing to God, you will miss all the heavenly glory. And I don't want anyone here to go through life and be like that kid going to play PlayStation in their room. I want to tell you something, right? I've got a friend in work. And he, when he's had a good day and he's spent time with his kids and he's been surfing and all that, he'll post on Instagram and he'll say, I've had an awesome day today. I just want to give thanks to the universe. And that's him inside knowing as a human that he wants to thank somebody, but he doesn't want to acknowledge God. That is like a kid opening their Christmas present and then disappearing into their room for the rest of their life playing it without coming downstairs and saying, thank you, God. I don't want anyone to do that. I don't want anyone to miss all the gifts that you've been given and not acknowledge the giver. The Bible says this, give thanks to the Lord because his love endures forever. His love lasts forever. But how has God demonstrated his love to you? How do you know God loves you? This. God demonstrated his love towards you in this. That whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If anyone ever asks me how I know that God loves me, that's my answer every time. Because Jesus died for me. Not because I had a good day, not because I had a bad day. The reason I know God loves me is because Jesus died for me. And all of us naturally go our own way, don't we? The Bible says we're like sheep. We go astray. And Jesus came down to rescue us. To bear the burden on himself of all the things we've done wrong so that we could be fixed with God. So that we could be made right with him and come into a relationship with him. We give thanks to God for his enduring love for who he is and for saving us. The God of salvation. But lastly, and this is the last stage of thankfulness, is when we should give thanks. And I'm really glad that Simon's picked the songs that he's picked. Because if you were like listening to the words and not just singing along, you would have heard that we were singing a song about God being blessed. Blessed is the name of the Lord when good stuff's going on and when bad stuff's going on. And you all sung that with me. Okay. So, what is God's will for us in giving thanks? And I want to read you a verse because Christians, right, they tend to ask all the time, I want to know what God's will is for my life. And it's a really common question. I want to know what God's will is for my life. And they're like thinking in the minutiae, really. I want to know what the next step is. But they miss all the places in the Bible where God clearly tells you what his will for your life is. And one of those places is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I want to share it with you. This is God's will for your life. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God for your life. To give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's easy for me to say, isn't it? Here, in a beautiful garden, on a beautiful day. But it's harder when my dad's dying of cancer. Or I'm going through a tragedy. Or something bad is happening in my life. But the Bible doesn't say to just give thanks in the good times. It says give thanks in all circumstances. So how can we do that? Well, here's the thing. If you only give thanks for the things you've been given, they come and go. They change. But if you're giving thanks to the one who's given it, and for his love, that never changes. In other words, it's not linked to your circumstances. So you can give thanks to God in any circumstance because he never changes. His love is always the same. To illustrate this, I just want to give one final story, okay? And it's from a book called The Hiding Place, and it was written by a lady called Corrie ten Boom. And it's about her time when she was in a Nazi concentration camp. And I'll read you an excerpt from it. We were moved to Barracks 28, where they found that their reeking straw bed platforms were swarmed with fleas. But how could they live in such a place? Betsy, Corey's sister, had the answer in their Bible study for that day from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So she said, Betsy said, we can do that right now. We can give thanks to God for everything in this new barracks we've got. And they thank God for their Bible. They thank God for each other. And then Betsy said, God, I thank you for the fleas. And Corrie ten Boom, and if you've read the book, she's very, says it as it is, that was just a step too far. I said, I can't, not even God. This is a dangerous thing to say by anyone, by the way. Not even God can make me thankful for these fleas. That's too much. And Betsy said this. Look at what the verse says again. Give thanks in all circumstances, not just pleasant circumstances. Now, over the next few weeks and months, they noticed that they weren't getting beaten up as much as they were before. They weren't getting harassed as much as they were by the officers. They were finding that they could have these Bible studies in their barracks, undisturbed, protected, and God was like just providing them this safe haven. Why? The fleas. God was using the fleas to protect them. It's easy to see a beautiful garden as a finger pointing to God, isn't it? But is it as easy to see a bed ridden with fleas as a finger pointing to God? God's will for us is that in all things we give thanks to him. And the reason that we can do that is because he never changes. Okay, as Christians, we believe that his love for us never changes. What he's done for us never changes. And so in all circumstances, we can give thanks to him. Don't get me wrong. I want to thank God for everybody who's been involved in this. I want to thank God for the money he's brought in, the people he's used to do that. I want to thank you so much for the grants, and I want to thank you so much for everyone who's been involved. But I don't just want to see the finger. I want to thank God that he's given us all those things. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this garden. But help us to never end here. Help us to see it as a finger pointing to you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're the Father of lights and that every gift comes down to us from you. We give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen.